You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
Yes, it's Colorado, but it really should be Atlanta, Georgia. All
yes.
Right. What the heck is everybody thinking out here? And I think everybody's just sick and tired of this woke culture and this woke community. And what is happening here with sports is they've taken one of the very last escapes of especially the human male, but there are tons and tons and tons of female sports enthusiasts. But what they've done is they've taken professional sports as a relaxation, an entertainment, and an escape mechanism, and they politicized it, and they've just brought us all back into the anxiety and the anger and the frustration that we can't even live our lives without every single part of it being politicized in some manner or another. I'll tell you what, I'm pissed off.
Yeah, well, I won't be watching baseball or football. But, you know, it's interesting because baseball, Major League Baseball, during the pandemic, lost the most money. They lost 5.2 or 5.6, something like that, $5.2 billion $5.2 billion last year in revenues just because of the pandemic. So to make this move and tick off the country, I don't think was very bright. And a Rasmussen poll just came out, and over about 73% of the country think that they should not have moved that game. Now, why did they do it? They did it because they're apparently they didn't read the new voting laws in Georgia. And you know, you and I talked about them a few weeks ago when they first came out, and I thought that they were extremely reasonable and rational. And the thing that's different, because you remember that they being the Democrats, used the pandemic to change the voting procedures of many, many states.
The guidelines.
Yes. Well, and Georgia was one of those. And even though they had a Republican governor, and Georgia was one of those. And in doing so, it was absolutely a disaster. So Georgia came back and said, okay, we're going to, you know, reset these rules. And what they did is they said that in order to get an absentee ballot, you have to have an ID. That's perfectly reasonable. 73% of the population feels that we should have voter ID. So when President Biden spoke about it, and he keeps calling it Jim Crow laws, every time he refers to it, he says Jim Crow laws to get that in people's minds. And he really is the one that, you know, just made this thing blow up because he supported a move, and he misrepresented for sure.
Well, he didn't misread anything.
No.
He misrepresented what the voting guidelines are in the state of Georgia. And that's why even the extremely liberal Washington Post, which I think is owned by Google, right? The Washington Post gave him four Pinocchios, gave him an opportunity to remediate and fix his statement. Biden doubled down,
and now he's got
eight Pinocchios.
Yeah, they doubled down on it, which is very frustrating because it's so dishonest to the public. And this is where the people in the country have to do their own homework. The law is not a huge, long law, so you can read it very easily. But what he said, you know, he said, oh man, you know, you can't even give somebody a drink of water in line. Well, that's patently false. People can get a drink of water if they're in line, if they want one. What can't happen is political operatives cannot go use food or water as an excuse to go you know, spout their political beliefs and try to get people to vote for their candidate. You can't do that. You can't do that anywhere in the country within so many feet of a polling place. So that is all that they said. Now, if somebody was desperately in need of water and they didn't happen to bring their own like a responsible adult would, then there are people there that can bring them water, but not political operatives.
Yeah, you know, and Biden and all these people are throwing around this term Jim Crow, Jim Crow, Jim Crow. And I just want to kind of provide our friends and our, you know, talking while married family or listeners with just a brief definition really of what Jim Crow law refers to. And basically, you know, after the Civil War, Jim Crow laws were state and local statutes that legalized racial segregation in some form or another. And so after the Civil War, what happened was they created these laws called Jim Crow laws that denied equal opportunity to Black citizens. And so just think about it for a minute. Think about how easy it is to vote in the United States. Just think about that for a minute. Everybody goes out of their way to make sure that everybody enjoys and experiences and has equal access to their right to vote. You can walk into, you know, with the predicate guidelines being met, of which really there's only a couple, and those are quickly going away. You know, you can't be a felon. That's quickly going away. But you have to have photo ID because you have to be able to prove who you are and the fact that you're a citizen of the United States, or for state and local elections, you are a citizen of that state. Okay, so that's really important. And I absolutely, you know, a couple of talking heads were discussing this, you know, just today, and I was listening to the conversation. And they said, and I fully buy into it, how racist, and I hate to use that word, but I'm going to say that, how racist it is for white Democrats, especially, to assert that Blacks are so ignorant of being able to get a simple photo ID card, a driver's license, a photo ID card if you don't drive, some type of a passport, a VA card, something that has your photograph on it that is an official state or federal document. I mean, it doesn't take any intelligence whatsoever, yet these white Democrats on the progressive left keep throwing it out there saying that Blacks are being denied the opportunity to vote. Let's go back in our Confederacy, in our United States history. It wasn't the Republicans that were pushing Jim Crow laws. It was the Democrats. It was the Democrats. And so now, and I think people have forgotten that, and maybe people of color have forgotten that. But that's what's going on. They want anybody to vote.
Well, and Candace Owen made a really good point when she said that, you know, it is insulting to people of color to keep saying that they are being discriminated against in the voting as though they can't go get an ID. Let's just be real here. You got to have an ID to buy alcohol. You've got to have an ID to drive a car. You've got to have an ID for almost everything that you do in life.
To go to the bank, to get on an airplane.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, there's a million things.
So to say what they're saying, that these people are being discriminated against, is absolutely ridiculous. And it's those words that they keep playing as sound bites and people seem to believe it. You know, it's almost like people don't think about what they're saying. Well, let me really think about that. Would that be true? No, that makes no sense at all. But nobody goes that far. They go as far as listening to that soundbite and say, oh, well, okay. Now, here's the interesting thing. Delaware, where Joe Biden is from, has stricter voting laws than Georgia. Colorado, where they just moved the game to, you have to show ID, the same as they asked for in Georgia. What was the punishment here? Why did they do that?
You know, let's just talk about who is being harmed by this. Just for the immediacy of it, I want to talk about Georgia and I want to talk about Atlanta, which is a heavily populated minority state and minority city. The city of Atlanta was formerly looking at a windfall of about $100 million of tourism, right? Tourism dollars for people going to this game. There are hundreds of Black-owned businesses in Atlanta and in and around the ballpark. There are vendors, there are providers, there are food trucks, there are restaurants, there are bars, there are promotional product vendors, there are distributors of promotional products. All of the hotels. You think about it, all of the entertainment, the taxi cab drivers, the Uber drivers, the Lyft drivers, all of the people that are the infrastructure that support the Major League Baseball games when they're in Atlanta. And now they get zilch. Well, at the same time, Linda, we are taking a baseball game from a heavily minority populated city, and we are moving it to a heavily white populated city, which is Denver, Colorado.
Yes, and Colorado has a much less diverse community than does Atlanta, Georgia. You know, here's some little facts for you. Georgia has 17 days of in-person voting, early voting, including two optional Sundays. Colorado has 15. They both have photo ID requirements. So what did they gain by doing this move? I don't understand, because actually Colorado's laws are even more strict than Georgia's. The other thing that doesn't make a whole lot of sense is that Biden appeared at the NCAA championship game in Indiana and praised the state. But that state was the birthplace for the photo ID requirement in voting.
See, this guy is so ignorant, and he's literally zoned out, and he's led around by his progressive left handlers and people like Barack Obama, that Joe Biden admits to. He almost talks to Obama every single day. Okay, Obama is all in on this pulling Major League Baseball out of not only Atlanta, but every state that has the voter ID laws. So, Linda, I think there are 35 or 36 states in the United States that have voter ID laws. So where is Major League Baseball going to go? Look at the slippery slope that's created by doing this. If you pull it out of Atlanta and you double down, then that means who's going to be next? Basketball? Hockey? Football? Are the Atlanta Falcons not going to play games in Atlanta anymore? And by the way, if the Atlanta Falcons play football in their stadium, then why did you ever pull Major League Baseball out of there?
Well, this is a matter of people jumping into something, not knowing what they were talking about. You had these CEOs of companies like Coca-Cola, Delta, that come out and they criticize this whole Georgia voting. And I don't think that anybody bothered to read it. And when Governor Kemp came out and he said, hey, here's what it says, I don't see what the problem is. You know, that makes sense. And I think people have a lot of egg on their face right now.
Well, Stacey Abrams does for sure. Because she was like, what, the first person that threw it out there that they should pull Major League Baseball out of Atlanta. I think she was one of the first people that did that. Now she's walked it back completely because she finally woke up and said, oh my God, where the Black community is going to get terribly harmed by this. And the Black businesses are speaking out and they're saying how badly they're going to get harmed by this. And I think we need to remember that Atlanta, just like every other city in the United States of America, those businesses, especially restaurants and bars and entertainment, are coming off of a horrible year during the pandemic in 2020, going into 2021, where they weren't making any money at all. They were actually being closed down while at the same time having to pay for rent, having to pay for workers' comp, you know, having to pay salaries for people. I mean, all of that. And so after, you know, we close those businesses down, now you're going to rub salt into the wounds and you're going to deny them an opportunity to profit on the tourism dollar from Major League Baseball. It doesn't make any sense at all. And you know what? I want to go back over this whole thing about these woke corporations and these woke CEOs that are hijacking our culture and our public policy, meaning our efforts to maintain a democratic government through democratic and fair voting practices. Coke, Delta, American Airlines, and United. All three airlines, Delta, American, and United, all require a photo ID to even get a ticket to get on a plane.
Right. And, you know, if you really are concerned about people, and especially people of color, and in lower income neighborhoods, you took that game, as you said, and took it from those very neighborhoods and people that need it the most, and took it to, you know, more of a white community and a more wealthy community, by the way. And it just makes no sense. So you made your statement. And then at the same time, we're looking at sending athletes to China while they're killing, I don't know how to say that word, the Uyghurs?
Tens of thousands of people.
Yes.
Okay, you want to talk about racism. How about genocide?
Genocide, exactly. And President Biden will not say anything about that, and he will not comment or even entertain the idea of taking the Olympics out. Now, there are a lot of companies and a lot of CEOs, oddly enough, including Coca-Cola, who are saying you need to take the Olympics out of there and offer to bring them to the United States, or that we'll have our own Olympics or something, but you can't go over there because that whole problem there. And, you know, Biden is so entrenched with China that it just seems like he doesn't want to address anything about China. Every time he's asked a question, which usually is from from Fox, he just doesn't answer it. He makes some snide comment and he walks away. He does not answer the question.
Well, you know, I think we all need to be extremely concerned about this. And just for the immediacy again of Atlanta. So what's going to happen after this? Okay, look at the slippery slope that's been created. They've doubled down on it. Where are professional sports going in the United States of America, and where are they going specifically in Atlanta? Will we ever have a professional sports game in Atlanta in the future now that they took baseball out of there? It's just a game and they have a team. Okay, but what's going to happen after this? If you take one game out, you have to take all of the games out, Linda.
When these companies, Ron, get involved politically this way, I don't want to spend my dollars at those companies. It's the same with actors. It's the same with sports figures. Stay out of my politics and just sell me your Coca-Cola or play your game, but leave the politics out of it.
I'll get you a cup of coffee. This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, co-host of Talking While Married. If you enjoy a good fiction detective thriller series with accurate true life investigative techniques and a contemporary Western theme, I hope that you'll try out my new series, Wade Justice, Texas Ranger. The first two books of a multi-book series are already out to great reviews, Absolute Justice and Justice for All. Join retired Texas Ranger Wade Justice as he hunts down a serial killer in Nashville in Absolute Justice and then follow him through the dark streets of Florence, Italy, as he tracks international terrorists who are plotting to kill the Italian president and murder thousands of Italians in the fast-paced and exciting sequel, Justice for All. My Way Justice series is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and on Apple, with personalized and autographed books available on our special website, wadejustice.com. That's WADEJUSTUS.com. Get your copies today. Well, then the surge against the United States of America by the Third World continues, and it's not getting any better. It's getting a lot worse.
It's absolutely getting worse. They have found a number of terrorists coming over the border. They have drugs coming over the border. They had, in the month of March alone, they had something close to 600 criminals, I mean, hardcore criminals coming over, sex offenders. They have had a mother. A lot of these women, by the way, are getting sexually assaulted on the way up. So they had a mother who the cartel broke her leg as they were trying to rape her, took her six-month-old baby, threw the baby in the river, and a Texas Ranger saved the baby, little baby girl, 6 months old. They just tossed her in the river off a raft to drown. And these are the horrors that the people coming up through Mexico are facing going through the cartels. What we're facing in the United States is, and particularly in the border states, is the influx of these people who are unskilled, who have no money, who have no language with which to communicate effectively. They
only have menial job skills.
They
don't bring anything to the table. You know, and when you ask them, you know, why they're coming into the United States, it's not because they're being oppressed. It's not because they're worried about terrorism. It's because they want a job. And they're very upfront about that. I want a better job. I want an opportunity to make more money. I want a better education system for my kid. I want better health care. And I want somebody to pay for it. You know, I mean, that's
sure.
That's
don't we all?
Yeah, don't we all? You know, hey, you know, stand in line. We're still trying to get all of those stuff. And we're Americans, and especially senior citizens, for God's sakes. But, you know, to your point, Linda, just at the recently in the Central California sector, and you and I being formerly from California and down near San Diego, we know exactly where the El Centro sector is. Well, anyway, they captured, Customs and Border Protection, CBP, captured two Yemeni males that are both on the terrorist watch list and on the do not fly list. And they've caught quite a few of these fellas coming across the border, like you say, in our border states. We've had several in Texas. I thought I heard the number of something like 22 since the surge began. Hey, it only took a few people to do 9/11, okay? Just a few terrorists to do 9/11. And by the way, Lynn, these are just the people that DHS, you know, Department of Homeland Security and Customs and Border Protection apprehended. Think about the ones that get away. I'll bet you it's 5-1. I'll bet you out of every five terrorists that sneak into the United States, only one is captured.
I'm sure that that's true, because the Border Patrol themselves say that there are hundreds of thousands of people getting through without them catching them.
Well, because they're overwhelmed. They're overwhelmed.
Of course they're overwhelmed. They're being babysitters in these little tent cities that are flooded with unaccompanied minors. You know, they say that they're sending people back over the border. Some people they're sending back over the border, but they can't possibly plug all the leaks. I mean, it's like a sieve at the border, because the border wall was not finished and there are openings in the border wall and they're taking advantage of them. There are so many things wrong with this picture. And what did Joe Biden say? He said that we could afford another million or 2 million a year to come into our country through that southern border. No, we cannot afford that. We cannot afford for our citizens to be victims of their crimes. We cannot afford for these people that have nowhere to, you know, go to the hospital or go to the doctor. So therefore our emergency rooms are jam-packed with people who want an aspirin, literally just want an aspirin. Now, I'm not saying that they don't have, you know, other things that happen to them, but we end up paying for all this. We cannot afford this. And at the same time, it's like putting way too many stones on our shoulders with this.
Notice how America is always number two, Linda.
Yes. Well, but the goal, Ron, is that they get all these people in, then they make them citizens and they think that they're going to get their vote. And they are doing every roundabout way that you can name to get the vote so that conservatives can never be in power again. So they are doing this mad rush over the border to get millions of people in here, to make them citizens, to then expect their vote. Then they are trying to do things like HR 1, in which they don't want people to be able to have to show ID, so that these people end up voting anyway. Then they are complaining about things like so-called Jim Crow laws. You know, they're doing every single thing to not have you have to show ID, to get Puerto Rico as a state, to get Washington, D.C. as a state. All of these things have one goal, just one, and that is to never have conservatives in power again.
And you know what goes on here? Because I think people have to ask themselves, and I think they have, during the pandemic, when we are winding down, hopefully we are winding down from the pandemic, the last thing that we need in the United States right now is chaos, further chaos to destabilize us. This is the very last thing that we need. And it's the thing that the Biden administration is creating: more chaos, tens of thousands of people breaching our borders, our Department of Homeland Security, our Immigration and Customs Enforcement, our Customs and Border Patrol are overworked. They're overwhelmed, and we're bringing in tons of fentanyl, methamphetamine, cocaine.
Sex offenders, child molesters, sex traffickers, you name
MS-13
it.
MS-13 gang members and
exactly.
Terrorists.
Murderers. We are bringing in all kinds of criminals. But do you know what's interesting about this? My little brain just thought of this. The governor in Texas and the governor in Arizona are complaining about this every day. It's wrong. They're talking about the COVID coming over the border into their cities, ramping up the exposure of the people in Texas and Arizona. You don't hear a peep out of New Mexico or California, who have the same consequences as we're talking about. Drugs coming over their border. In the case of California, they had two Yemeni terrorists coming over their border. But you don't hear them complaining. Isn't that interesting?
Well, you don't hear the politicians complaining. And of course, the media is very complicit. Don't forget that the media did not want to show us what these detention facilities, especially with the children, looked like. That you didn't see this stuff on CNN.
Biden, no, because they couldn't get down there because the Biden administration wouldn't let them down there.
But they could have pushed it. Okay,
well, yeah,
because they're supporters.
Have you ever seen a paparazzi camera? It's like 2 feet long.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they can get pictures of Princess Di in her bikini, you know, 2 miles away. They could get pictures of those facilities if they wanted
them. But you know, more to the point, the mainstream media are the people that basically put Biden and Kamala Harris into power, just like they put Barack Obama into power. And if they pressured the administration, then they would have access, but it's hands off. Nobody wants to touch this guy. And you know what? Here's the sad thing. I mean, there was a poll, that a very, very recent poll out, and it scared the bejesus out of me. And there was two ways to look at the poll. First of all, I think the title of the poll or the headline of the poll is, the vast majority of Americans are strongly against what Joe Biden is doing at the border, right?
Yes.
Opening up the border,
yes.
And, you know, this type of thing in the surge. But then, and that was like 56%. but 44% supported Biden as president. And that means when you support him, you're pretty much supporting everything that he's doing. Are you kidding me? After listening to us for the last, 8 minutes, drinking coffee and talking about this, you, if you're a Democrat, you are supporting Joe Biden. I just don't understand what has happened to the United States of America and Americans. And this is the thing we need to worry about. I would have hoped that we would be up to like 85% of Americans not liking what the Biden administration has done to our national security and our immigration status. And that's not the case. And so that scares the hell out of me.
Well, I have to tell you that the Rasmussen polls on voter approval of what is happening at the border has continued to plummet. It has absolutely plummeted.
But not enough.
Well, you are looking at one poll, okay? And as you know, pollsters make the poll give the results that they want, usually by the way that they word the question.
Very true.
So what Rasmussen has showed is that it is definitely plummeting, and most Americans do feel that what's happening at the border is completely wrong. I disagree with the numbers that you just stated in that poll, and I saw the same poll that you did, but it's all about
how... But my numbers weren't wrong, right?
No, your numbers are right, but I think that the polls manipulate how they ask a question to get an answer that, suits their narrative, right? And that's what they do. So I kind of take Rasmussen as just having more of a nonpartisan type polling. And it does look like most people absolutely do not like what's going on at the border.
But you know what, let's go back into the theme of, like I said, of America Second. Since Biden has become president of the United States, there's such a stark contrast between the philosophy and ideology of Donald Trump, which was MAGA, make America great again, and make America even greater, moving forward into the future and developing national and international policies, and executive orders to make sure that America stayed on top. And with the Biden administration, even though he says that, and it's just all political rhetoric, that, I'm going to make America number one. Well, what comes out of your mouth, it doesn't harmonize with what you're actually doing. In case in point are these teachers. Well, first of all, with the migrant kids, the migrant kids are getting in-person education. Our kids, our American citizen kids, are getting what, Linda? Zoom education. And then if you take a look at San Diego County in California, you had teachers that are working in the San Diego Unified School District that were not teaching classes, but then made a deal with the Unified School District to volunteer to teach migrant kids in these camps. And also they're taking over like the San Diego Convention Center and stuff like that. And they're getting paid for doing that. So wait a minute, you're getting paid to teach our kids, and all of a sudden you're teaching migrant kids that aren't even citizens with our tax dollars. Okay, here's the next thing. And I heard this today with this infrastructure money, teachers unions are putting in, they are lobbying to get subsidized childcare for their own kids while they're teaching. Imagine that.
Oh,
they just can't imagine that.
Yeah, they just can't ask for enough. I mean, the whole situation with the border is just, it's so bad. And if you live in a state as we do, that's a border state, I can't tell you how bad it is. I cannot tell you all of the problems that we have. And we as a state are spending billions of dollars to handle the problems that come with having this kind of influx of people. Therefore, so would New Mexico, so would Arizona, so would California be. But you don't hear the Democratic states complaining when you have, you know, Gavin Newsom, who's a relative of Nancy Pelosi, he's not going to make a big deal about it. But the fact is that the people in San Diego, California, the people in El Centro, the people in those areas absolutely are suffering the consequences of all these people coming over the border. And by the way, Ron, you know, people in the country, in other places than border states, which is most other states, right? Almost all other states. So out of 50, it's going to be 46 other states are not on the border of Mexico. But those people are not going to escape these consequences. They are going to be paying for these people. Their children are going to be hit by a drunk driver by these people. Their children are going to be getting fentanyl and dying of an overdose. You remember a few years back when Trump became president, they had this horrendous fentanyl problem. I think it was it New Hampshire?
New Hampshire and Vermont.
I mean, and Vermont, horrible. I mean, beautiful, beautiful states and horrible drug problems for families. So many people dying, not just children, but mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, all of these people dying from fentanyl and other drugs. This is coming your way, people. It's coming your way. It's not going to stay on the border. These people move around and buses are picking them up and taking them here and there and everywhere. You know, there is something seriously wrong with a picture that we had just recently where you have these two little girls, 3 and 5 years old, being dumped over the border wall, 14-foot border wall, and dropped to the ground. And what did they have with them? They had a bag that had the note. Their mother lives in New York. You know, get those kids to their mother. Well, okay, so how did their mother get here without her kids would be my first question. Did she come illegally over the border at some other point and then wait for an opportune time? Or, I mean, what is the story there that's happening with situations like that? Because most of these unaccompanied children have notes with them. They're written on their arms, written on their clothes. They're something that they're carrying that says, you know, here's where my relative is.
Right. Well, that is all by design. Let's talk about the specific case of the mother with the 3 and the 5-year-old, the little girls that got literally tossed over, dropped over the fence. And I saw that, and I think many of our listeners saw that, and it was from a distance. Okay. I think they dropped them from about 6 or 8 feet and they both bounced on the ground, you know, just thank God they didn't break anything. But when they dropped them, they dropped these two little girls miles from the closest residence. And what they did drop, you're correct, they dropped a backpack with them. And in the backpack, these two kids already had passports. So they already had passports. They had IDs. I think they're from Ecuador. So they had passports with IDs. There was a note on where my mom is and, you know, get me. That's all by design, because once they're on this side of the border, you know, the Biden administration has put it out there so strongly that they're not going to separate kids from their parents anymore.
They're not going to send any unaccompanied children
Absolutely.
Back.
Absolutely. As soon as those kids are medically assessed, they're going to find mom because they got a telephone number for mom. And I think she was up in New Jersey. And those kids are with mom right now. I guarantee you those kids are with mom right now. And that's what's going on. And it's just so sad.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Fighting every day against the internet monopolies that are trying to stifle our right to free speech and freedom of assembly. 5 years on the air, and we will not be silenced. America Out Loud Talk Radio. It's a fight for the soul of humanity.
Thank you for the copy. You know, we have some history now on these cities that have defunded the police run, and none of it's really good. Cities like Austin, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, New York City, Portland, Seattle, they shifted funds from their police to other ways of doing things. And it's not been successful at all. The crime rate in all of the cities I just mentioned is up by double and triple digits.
Well, you know, and you and I, as former law enforcement officers, I think you and I really understand the true causes of crime. I think we've arrested a lot of people between the two of us, and we've had a lot of interviews. You know, we've worked the streets. We know how the criminal mind thinks. And that's, so I like to think, you know, the big college term would be we're ethnographic researchers, which means we're out in the street and we talk to people on the street at the street level. We talk to victims. We talk to suspects. We get in their heads. Why do you do what you do? And it's always very revealing when we do this. The problem that we have is that we have like professors and in highbrow mucky mucks, you know, these so-called criminologists and, you know, these researchers that say that that's not the case at all, Linda. And you know who I want to pick on is I want to pick on a criminologist by the name of Richard Rosenfeld. And he's a pretty prominent criminologist. As a matter of fact, he's been the president of the American Society of Criminology, of which I've been a member of for quite a few years. And if you listen to Professor Rosenfeld, who's never done a day of street work in his entire life, never been a police officer, never been on the street, just been in a lab, and all he does is write articles and write books. I've read his resume. But he says that's not the case. The rise in crime has nothing to do with police defunding. It has to do with coronavirus. And the violence that you see is a response from people that are fighting against the excessive force by police out on the street.
And that is absolutely a false narrative. There is not excessive force. It's not that there's never a case of excessive force. There can be a case of excessive force, but by and large, in the high 90% of cases, there is no excessive force. In fact, I think that you have those numbers in your head much better than I do.
Yeah, I can always bring them out. Okay, here's a great one. Of all the hundreds of thousands of arrests that are made every month in the United States, okay, so we got 900,000 peace officers working in the United States, about 600,000 work the street where they do make detentions and arrests. Of all the uses of force, all of them, only less than 2% of all police contacts result in any use of force at all. And out of the less than 2%, it is a very, very, I would say, infinitesimal small fraction of people who resist arrest and police have to use force upon. Okay. And I wrote about that extensively in my Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter book. So all of this, you know, this rhetoric, and that's all it is, it's unsupported rhetoric that police are out of control, they can't de-escalate, and they're injuring and killing people, predominantly minorities, at a inordinate rate, is complete hogwash. It just doesn't happen. Uses of force are extremely small, and uses of force where we have serious injuries or deaths is way down. Okay. I mean, I could give you the statistics, but you'd be bored by them.
Some of these cities, they took money from the police budgets and they diverted it to other violence prevention programs. And those have not been successful. And not only have they not been successful, what has happened in some of those cases was exactly what you and I said would happen. And that is that a person goes out to a scene, say a domestic violence scene, which turns bad very quickly, and that violence prevention person is then killed because they are not a person out there that is armed. They are not trained to handle these situations that rapidly unfold. And this is what happens. And that is what to expect. All of the cities that I mentioned are their stats are up in murder. So when you take Minneapolis, who defunded their police by twice, actually they defunded them. They have 49% more homicides going into March of 2021. If you take other cities.
Well, just look at Chicago.
Chicago's a train wreck.
Just recently, in one day, on a holy day, they killed seven people in the town of Chicago, and predominantly in Southside Chicago. They killed seven people in one day. All right. You know this as a former officer. 50% of victims know they're suspects that kill them. Okay. 50%. And so what are you talking about? Domestic violence, violence in the house, mass murders where they kill everybody in the family, you know, things like this. But the truth of the matter is that coronavirus, okay, so Dr. Rosenfeld says, well, coronavirus is a big deal. And he mentions the burglary rate. Yes, burglars don't want to break into occupied homes. And when people are home sequestered, you're not going to get your burglary rate going up. But Dr. Rosenfeld, tell me why the robbery rate is through the roof. Okay. Tell me why the auto burglaries are through the roof. The other property crimes are through the roof. Tell me why the sexual assaults are through the roof. Tell me why the gang violence is through the roof.
Well, let's talk about Portland. Portland, since they defunded, when the city's budget cuts happened, which was July of 2020, to now, they show homicides have skyrocketed 270.6%. That there is a direct correlation between defunding the police and those murder stats. And besides that, in Portland and Seattle, officers can't get out of there fast enough, and they can't replace them because nobody wants to work there under those conditions.
Well, you know what? And you've hit the nail partially on the head. So a guy like Rosenfeld, who's never worked the street, doesn't understand the dynamics of proactive policing and how that works and how morale in a police department that is destroyed by defunding and handcuffed, right? So stop and frisk, right? Shake, rattle, and roll, being severely restricted, regardless of whether the officer has reasonable suspicion or probable cause to stop and frisk somebody, that's all out the window. And so when you demoralize the police, then when you remove qualified immunity, right, and the protections that police should be able to enjoy when they're dealing with suspicious characters in rapidly evolving situations that are tense and uncertain, the proactive police officer stops being proactive. And we know, because we've been involved in many, many task force, Linda, where our job was to go out there and circumvent crime and mitigate crime, reduce crime. You get it by stop and frisk and shake, rattle, and roll.
Well, absolutely.
That's how you do it.
Broken windows policing, which I believe in. Again, in Portland, just January through March 8th of 2021, 278 shootings in the Portland region with 58 people injured and 17 killed. That is, it's the highest ever in their history. So do you think that doesn't have something to do with defunding police? New York City, another one, who defunded the police, demoralized the police. Murders in New York City are up 11.8% year to date, and they have 76 reported now already this year.
Well, you know, let me go back because I'm you know, my purpose, I'll be very transparent about it. My purpose is to dump on Professor Rosenfeld, because these are the guys that write the books, that write the articles, and they get on TV and they don't know what the hell they're talking about. But yet the progressive left and the media wants to go to these guys because they got to pile higher and deeper after their name, and they're a professor and they've written a book. It doesn't mean squat. What matters is understanding the criminal mind and how crime and the criminal intent is formed, and the behavioral factors that create criminality. And so one of the things, and I read his article, one thing that was prominent that he didn't even mention, our atrocious court system. Zero bail, letting people, releasing people, ROR, releasing them on their own recognizance. There is absolutely no accountability for these suspects that commit these violent crimes. Then you take murderers and you put them out on parole, and violent offenders and you put them on parole. But then what you've done is defunded the parole officers and the probation. So nobody's watching those guys. And so that's where you see the guy recently that stomped that Asian woman in New York City and nearly killed her, broke her pelvis, this 65-year-old Asian woman, you know, almost killed by this man that was 260 pounds, about 6'4". He was on parole for killing his mother.
And why was he out?
That's exactly right.
And nobody that witnessed that, and there were a lot of people that witnessed that, called 911. And the security guard in the building right in front watching, stood there and watched, did nothing, and then closed the door. I'm sorry, back in the day, that person would have been arrested. You have to lend a hand at some point in time.
When there is no accountability and you literally have a revolving door criminal justice system, again, with no accountability, with ridiculous sentencing guidelines, and nobody is punished for what they do, they will become recidivists. And people that are into violent crimes, especially gun-related violent crimes, will, it has been proven time and time and time again, they will do increasingly more violent crime.
And I would tell your professor that one of the reasons that violent crime is up, I agree, is because of COVID. Because when they let all of these guys who killed people out of jail because of COVID, they went back and killed other people.
But that's not...
I understand.
But that's not what he says.
I understand.
Okay.
That's not what he says, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Los Angeles, okay? Last year in 2020, they were up 38%. This year, they're up an additional 28.3%. On top of that, 38%.
Well, shooting crimes in New York City during this past year have gone up 300%. Dr. Rosenfeld, how could you look at these statistics nationally and still come out with that boulder dash that what is going on here is that this violence, this spike in violence, is a response to police violence? Really? A 300% increase in shootings in New York City? If you talk to any street cop, they will tell you why there's an increase in shootings. If you ask any street cop in the city of Chicago, they will tell you why their murder rate for the last few years has been astronomically through the roof. Okay. And what happens is predominantly these crimes are happening in the minority community. They are committed by Blacks, and the victims are Blacks. And that is a problem. And we cannot shove that under the rug. People in the Black community are literally hostages in their own homes, and you have nothing to say about that? That is ridiculous. You ought to burn your PhD.
Well, then you're going to add into all of this, you're going to add millions of illegal immigrants coming up. Many of them have criminal records. And you're going to add that into this mix. So this is a powder keg. We cannot defund the police because of a false narrative of police brutality. It just doesn't exist. The statistics do not support that narrative.
No, that's exactly right. So we have 900,000 peace officers in the United States. We've got about 600,000 of them working the street. They make tens of millions of contacts every fiscal year. And in last year, they killed throughout the entire United States, they killed 1,002 people for all the tens of millions of contacts that they had. Uses of force under 2%, officer-involved shootings, an infinitesimal amount out of the tens of millions of contacts that they made. And by the way, officers killed twice as many white people as they did people of color, twice as many. And as I said in my book, and the statistics still bear me out, that if you are a black man, your chances of being shot and killed by a police officer are less than being struck by lightning.
Well, I want to switch it up for just a second. I want to talk about America Out Loud, because we are at a very important time in the history of the radio station America Out Loud.
I think it's anniversary time, isn't it?
It is the five-year anniversary of America Out Loud. And this is a true success story. It's a true patriot story with people that are lovers of our country and our Constitution and our true patriots. And those are the people that you will find at America Out Loud, people that just, you know, bleed American blood. And that's what we need right now, is we need to hear the truth from the people that we're listening to. We need to not be listening to the mainstream media that is feeding us narratives like we just talked about. We need to take a common sense approach. And that's what I love about America Out Loud. We are all at America Out Loud very, very excited for this anniversary. It's just been a true success story. And we have a long way to go. And we hope you join us on that journey with America Out Loud as they grow bigger and better and have wonderful hosts. And keep listening to Dr. Ron and Linda on Talking While Married every evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And we'll see you on the radio.